Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Oh, what's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Bert Breer is in for Rich today. And I am the only one. Nick is doing something I've never seen him do before. He's doing the Mike Lockhart job of cutting the audio, which is never... It makes you a little uncomfortable with him in that position. Yes, Nick.
I've done this job before.
When?
Yeah.
When I've been here?
Yes.
All right. Did things go well?
The first two times, no, but but it's been multiple times.
All right, so Bird, you say no. Bird is here. Now, Bird is in his regular position of answering phones. So I have the regular people, it's me, Nick, and Bird. But Nick's doing a job that he never does. Telling me that he does it all the time. And then, why don't you remember? I don't know. We do five shows a week for over 12 years. Sometimes you tend to forget things. Now, Bert, did the post game last night at Comcast?
Yep. Yeah, it was it's a good experience doing a pre- and post-game show for the fourth preseason game.
All right, so at the end of that game, what do you talk about?
Everything else. I mean, I said to our producer, Jeff Capitasto, let's just pretend the game didn't happen, And for the most part, I mean, we got the Gronk thing landed in our lap, so we could talk about the Gronk contract extension or the Gronk contract adjustment. We talked about Brady and Guerrero. We talked about everything except for the game.
All right. Well, we'll get into the game coming up and what happened last night. Today, I get to leave, and I will be gone until Wednesday.
You drew the short end of the...
See, this year has been weird because I have as much vacation time as Rich, but it feels like I've worked way more because I worked the 4th of July week, and then I worked this week, which apparently no one
works.
Do you
guys make an effort to both not be away at the same time or no?
No.
Okay, so why did it matter? Why did Friday before Labor Day matter?
Why does it matter that I'm here?
No, why did it... God, why did it matter? Why does it matter that one of you is here? Or does it?
It does matter.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Okay, you just so happened to not take the today off.
Yeah, I just so happened. Who knows? How do I know everyone's going to take the day off today?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone...
Wallach, no Rich...
No, there's nobody, and I don't know who's doing the other shows, but I'm going to Newport, and the problem with going to Newport is I'm going with my children, and now I know it's not a good idea. My wife always thinks it's a good idea to do these things, but all I know is I won't get here. I will have to be in the room at 9 at night, and then I will get up, at least have fit. My sleep will be interrupted at 6 in the morning, if not before. So it ends up, and then you're in a bad mood the whole time, and you're exhausted. So you go into it, and I like Newport a lot, but you get into it, and you're like, I know this is going to suck in a way.
What are you guys doing all day with them? Because they're like elementary school, right?
Yeah. One's going to the fifth, one's going to the second. So what happens is that there's a stupid arcade that is right next to...
I think I heard you talk about this.
Yeah, there's a dumb arcade.
And they want to go there for the whole day.
They just, all they want to do is go there. And the last time we went, my son had some like insane amount of tickets. They combined them. So my son and daughter had these insane amount of tickets. And my son finally realized that everything that you can get for tickets is total crap. That he realized that there's nothing that you can get, yet still, there's the arcade. So what will happen is...
Has he started cheating on the games, too?
How do you cheat?
Well, you need, like, when you're a kid, like, so there'd be the whack-a-mole, right?
No, there's no whack-a-mole.
Well, the whack-a-mole, you used to, like, you could just get you and your buddies could just hold them all down, and then all of a sudden, the alarm would start going off, all the tickets would start coming out, and you had to just make sure you didn't get caught.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I was an honest boy.
You can cheat in skee ball.
I was an honest boy. How do I cheat at skee ball?
You just walk up the side of the ramp on the one that's at the very edge and just start tossing them in from there.
And this was something that you did and no one ever said anything? This was your big thing?
I mean, like you're always looking for a way to win, right? And so if there were...
I want them to lose at everything at that arcade. I want them to end up hating it.
No, I know you do, but they want to win.
Do you know that...
Like, it doesn't matter if the prizes are crappy. It's still cool to have a lot of tickets.
Oh, yeah. And what else is fun is that they'll go through $20 worth of crap with the claw machine. Is that they take that claw machine, and that goes in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's... That claw machine is...
Well, they end up getting crap. They end up getting crap. But it only takes 5 minutes, and then they wanted to go do, they want more money. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go through $20 at that place in 15 minutes. So everything, we'll go to the beach, and then we'll come back from the beach, because you'll only be there for so long. And then we'll be in town, and all I'll hear about is that stupid arcade.
So they're either at the arcade or trying to get to the arcade.
If we are in town, which is, you know, half the time... Yeah, they're trying to get into the arcade. I'm trying to get into a bar, and they're trying to get into the arcade. And my wife and I always get in the...
There's no bar at the arcade?
There is not.
Okay.
No, but just the doors are always open, and it's like 5,000 degrees
there. There's no
one
watching anyone. Like, there's no real supervision, right? I'm assuming it's one of those arcades where there's like one guy at the desk, and that's it?
Yeah, there's a guy at the desk, and then it's...
It's just like up to you.
Yeah, you got to stand there and do everything. And so... my wife and I will have a plan that because there's like bars surrounding it. So we'll have a plan that someone can go to the bar. But then again, that gets very contentious.
Wait a second. So you guys like alternate?
Yeah.
So like one person will be drinking alone at the bar.
Yeah.
And the other person will be monitoring the kids.
Yes.
And then you'll like tag each other in?
Yes. And that gets very contentious because there's the time limit.
You're drunk.
I don't think you can get drunk in a half an hour.
Well, you could.
It would kick in later.
If you were focused.
It would kick in later, though. Because have you ever gone out and you had, like, a time period where you could get drunk and you wanted to get drunk, but then you knew you had to get home at a certain point? Like, because you had to sleep or you had to...
You're saying, like, there's some sort of governor on you because you know what's ahead. Like, you
right.
know...
There's a time limit.
No matter what, like, it might make sense at the moment to keep drinking, but then... You know what's ahead, and you know the consequences for it.
Right, so, like, you give yourself, like, an hour and a half to drink.
Right, and then you need to sober up.
Well, and then you, go home, and then but you try to jam in as much as possible. And then what always happens to me is you're at the bar, because this is how I have to live my life, is that there's always a governor on it. Like, there's always, like, I got an hour. Mm-hmm. And then so you drink heavily, and then when you're done drinking... you feel fine, and then about 20 minutes later, it hits you, and you go like, oh, Jesus, what have I done?
If you're like midday,
Or even in the evening for me, because I'm so tired.
It's like when I was in college, like for a noon game, it's like what happens at 2 o'clock if you didn't sneak some in?
Yeah.
Like you feel like it's like 9 a.m. the next day.
Yeah, and then when you get older, you go earlier. Because what's the point of staying out late at night? You only got a certain amount of time.
There's no point anymore.
Yeah, there's no point anymore. All right. Let's go to whoever this is. Hello.
Hi.
Hey,
so you're talking about your kids and how they just like the tickets. So why don't you just go to the store, buy a ton of tickets, and every time they go outside and do anything adventurous or anything like that, you just give them a bunch of tickets. So that kind of satisfies their needs on that. And then also, I had something about Zolak and Rob Ninkovich both last night said that there is a trade coming for the Patriots at a level of Golden Tate or better at the wide receiver position, obviously, in the next 3 days. I was just kind of wanted to hear what you guys had to say about that.
I don't think there's any way the Lions move Golden Tate. Why would they move him? They were 9-7 last year. I mean, he's their best receiver.
And he's bought in, too. Like, it's not like he's off the reservation with Patricia. Like, he's bought in. And, I don't know. I think you're trying to do everything you can, if you're them, to get the most out of Matt Stafford and keep Matt Stafford engaged. And the way you do that is by, I mean, look how much they've invested in the offensive line. Like, they drafted Taylor Decker in the first round. They just drafted Frank Ragnow, the kid out of Arkansas. They've done everything they can to try to make it a good environment for Matt Stafford, and now you're going to lift your best receiver off the roster?
That makes
for what?
The thing is, like, defensive line help because they don't have a pass rush, but I don't know who the Patriots are going to give up that can give them that. And then, I mean, how do you sign Stafford to that huge deal? And like you said, invest in the offensive line, and then you take a running back. Why would you possibly give up Golden Tate? It makes no sense. Other than Stafford, I can't think of another guy in the roster that would be least likely to be traded. Maybe that cornerback that they have. But there's two guys that I couldn't see.
Left tackle, but yeah.
Yeah, like there's, let's say there's three or four guys. Like, he's in there. Like, I have no idea how they would trade him. And I keep hearing that. If I was a Lions fan, which I sort of am, I would be apoplectic if they got rid of him. Because it's not like they have a ton of weapons either. I mean, he's the guy
right
over there. So I don't think there's any way that happens.
They let Ebron go. I mean, they've got Marvin Jones still.
Yeah.
And they drafted the running back, the kid out of Auburn, Kerryon Johnson. But yeah, like it would have to be something pretty decent, I would think, for them to move him.
Well, I don't think they would move. I mean, it's his last year in his contract, but I don't think they'd move him for picks. I mean,
it depends on what pick.
Yeah, all right. Well, a first round pick from the Patriots isn't that much doesn't it carry a ton of value?
I mean, if you offered him a first round pick, they would say, yeah, we'll give you Golden Tate for a first round pick.
I don't think I would give Golden Tate for a first round pick because you're conceding the season. There's a chance that they make the playoffs. I mean, that's a borderline playoff team.
Well, they've been 9-7 the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So with bad breaks and Lions luck and the officiating right. That always goes against them.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, I think it was Bob Quinn's first year. I mean, they may have made a run in the playoffs if Matt Stafford didn't hurt his finger.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't give it up for – I wouldn't give up Tate this year for a late first-round pick because how do I replace him? I mean, how – first of all, the Patriots never give it up. But second of all, if I have to sit and really think about if I want to just give up the season, because that's essentially what you're doing. They don't have a great defense, and they need him. And then you're wasting a year of Stafford. So we'll see what happens. Bert's here, so we'll break down a lot of the divisions today. That's what we do, because generally me and Bert work together right before the season. We no longer have those CBS Sports Minutes, so we'll be back even sooner.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
No, maybe now I can.
All right. 98.5, the Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. John, go ahead.
Yeah, hey guys, hey.
Hey, hey.
You guys were talking about, you know, day drinking and fitting in as much stuff during, like, the shortest amount of time as possible. But,
parenting.
You know.
Yes.
Have you guys ever had the experience where you're day drinking all day and then at some point, probably around 4 or 5, you end up passing out and then you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just like, what the hell is going on right now?
I have a great story from the Southie Parade. And this must have been 2000. This was a while ago. But I had jury duty the next day. And so I went to the Southie Parade. And I got so messed up that I pulled the old Irish exit from the stadium. And this is probably 4 or 5 o'clock. I don't remember how I got on the tee. I don't remember how, I don't remember walking to my apartment. I don't remember any of that. Next thing I know, I wake up. There are McDonald's fries all over my chest. Every light in my apartment's on. The TV's on. Volume's at like 50. And I look at my, I pick up my phone, look at my phone. It's like 11 p.m.
Oh, Jesus. And then you're screwed.
Yeah. So, and I had jury duty the next day, which it, like when I was living there, when I was, it was right down like where, close to where the T station is there with the big garage for the garden.
Right.
So you're sitting in this big like hall, just waiting for 3 hours, doing nothing to see if you're going to get called.
Yeah, and so it's like it's a panicky nightmare.
Yes, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Yes, because your anxiety is at like a million.
Yeah,
and so you're sitting there in that big room. Yeah, that is. I have not had that happen. I've never woken up somewhere. Two times in my life, I've woken up somewhere where I didn't know where I was. And one was the bushes in front of my fraternity house. And
how long did it take you to realize?
You know, it seemed like, you know, 10 minutes, but in reality, it was probably like 30 seconds. But it was that sheer panic of getting up and going, like, what the hell? And then I woke up when we first moved here. I woke up on our couch, but we had just moved here. Mm-hmm. And I woke up on a couch, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And that took a while.
Yeah.
Because we had just moved into the place, and I was, and my wife was out of town, and I was like, what the hell is going on?
And it happened, like, when I was traveling 200 nights a year or whatever, during the ban here, I'd wake up all the time not knowing what city I was in. And this wasn't even, like, drinking didn't even have to be involved. Like,
right.
I would wake up all the time, and, like, I'd be in a hotel room, and, you know, I'd always stay in Marriott's, and a lot of them look alike. And so I'd wake up, and like it would take like a couple minutes of, wait a second, where am I? Like, it'd take a couple minutes for me to like think about it and realize where I was.
Yeah, that's too much traveling. If that's happening on a regular basis, it's too much.
Yeah, probably was.
You can't have that happening. All right, last night, your home team Patriots made it happen, and this kid, Etling, he went off and had himself a big run.
First and 10 for Danny Etling and company, who fakes the handoff. He's going to run 20, 25, right side, 30, 35, 40. Look at him on his feet into Giants territory, 30, 25, 20. Look at Danny Etling.
Look at Danny Roach.
Patriots.
Come on.
Danny Etling putting on a show here in the second half.
More like touchdown machine.
He knocked over a Giants defender earlier in the second half.
Now he's not going to play for any NFL team. Congratulations, kid. You got to highlight.
Why are you raining on Roach's parade?
Because you got to. I mean, he was overly excited. All right, so this Etling kid, Bert, is he a practice squad guy?
I think if they were intent on getting him onto the practice squad, he wouldn't have played last night. But now he may have.
Now, then who would have played?
They would have. I mean, if they were intent on getting him to the practice squad, they played Brian Hoyer last night.
So you'd risk your backup quarterback and not play the guy in the practice squad because have played him so he could clear waivers.
Yeah. So other teams wouldn't get a look at him, and because other teams haven't gotten much of a look at him.
So, but
I think last night was in essence, if you look at it, like a lot of times when teams do this, it's a tryout. It's should we bring you back?
Right.
I think he probably did enough to warrant them wanting to keep developing him, right?
He made a lot of mistakes.
He airmailed a couple of balls, but he showed athletic ability. I mean, there's probably something worth working with there where you say, all right, like we're not going to blow a roster spot on you, but if you clear waivers, we want to keep working with you.
All right, is there anyone last night that made a case that you think insured themselves to making the team?
No one jumped out at me. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me because I don't have my internet working. What do you got? What do you have over there?
Here, I will. I will sign you into my internet. KJ May had a decent night.
Like I don't think any of the receivers carved out a spot for themselves. Like, I don't look at any of the receivers and say, "Wow, you got to keep that guy."
All right. So, okay, if they were talking last night about there being Ninkovich and Zolak were talking about, they were going to make some massive move for receiver, and they mentioned Golden Tate, which both of us think is not going to happen. But who is available? Who could they get?
Well, I kind of shook the tree on Demaryius Thomas when Mike Florio reported what he did, and the impression I got back from Denver was that they're probably not moving him either. But there's a reason why that stuff gets out there, which means there's probably some sort of inquiry into his availability. So I don't doubt what Nink and Zoe are saying, that they're asking around.
Oh, no, I believe they're asking around. I'm just curious.
Now, I mean, like the names that I've heard, the receiver names that I've heard. And again, this isn't Golden Tate or bigger. Braxton Miller with the Texans, who has some background in your system because he's playing for O'Brien down there. Trevor Davis, who's shown some promise, was a fifth-round pick for the Packers 3 years ago, has never really turned looking good in practice, looking good in camp, looking good in the preseason into regular season production. But, I mean, for most of his time, there's been behind Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and Jordy Nelson. You know, like those are the names that I'm hearing now. Like, it's just receivers, one of those positions where people are looking for more, not less. You know, people, like, there aren't a lot of guys that teams are looking to dump. And tight end, same thing. There are a lot of teams out there looking. Offensive linemen, there are a lot of teams out there looking. And so if you have a surplus at one of those positions, you're in good shape because they're going to be suitors. Golden Tate and Demaryius Thomas, I understand why their names. Golden Tate because of the contract situation. Demaryius Thomas because Cortland Sutton's looked really good out there. It's just, we've looked at the level of trades they've made in the past and this time of year, and a lot of times it's, you know, a fifth going to the other team for a player and a seventh. And I don't know that there's like a difference-making receiver that you're going to get that for. You'd almost have to throw in one of your own players, which I think, that's why I think Malcolm Brown could be in the mix.
Yeah. All right. Belichick, after the game, was talking about making cuts.
The guys that played, which however many it was, 30, like I said, 6-7, however many it was, they got a chance to play. They got a chance to play a lot. So I'm sure they're going to make it hard for us. And you know, I think some of these guys are going to continue to improve, whether they, you know, make a roster right now or not, I don't know. But if they continue to improve, and whether it's for us, the practice squad, or at another point in time, you know, I think there are a lot of competitive guys on the field today on both sides.
You know what sucks about having them all make the cuts, you know, within a couple of days, is that you don't get the red tag in your locker on Hard Knocks. On Hard Knocks, didn't they used to, they would come in and they would find like a red thing in their locker? Wasn't that on Hard Knocks?
I think that's Major League, Fred.
I thought that, am I confusing Major League?
That's Major League. Was it Taylor that when he opened his locker and there was no red tag there.
It was Mary Poppins that I'm thinking of. I thought that on Hard Knocks that
another
they had
the year in the bigs or whatever.
On Hard Knocks that they found a thing.
I think that's Major League.
All right. Well, I get those things confused a lot. Is it? Well, you do miss when they sacrifice chickens. That I do miss.
And they give Joe Boo the shots.
There's one thing of that movie that I absolutely can't stand, and it's when whatever his face is, like the leader of the team, he goes, they're like,
Taylor, right?
Yeah, he goes, he wants you to sacrifice a chicken. He goes, I'll think of something. Would you? Are you going to think of something there, Mr. Leader? All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the Rob Gronkowski extension plus Red Sox with another big game.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Mm. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Sean Silver is in today. He is in for Wallach, and he was one of the people that we named into the Frosting Five. Now, are you the one who said that you wanted to get paid to come in the morning?
I don't know about that. I mean, I assume I'm getting paid for four-hour stint here this morning.
No, not today.
Yeah.
But when we wanted to do the bit with you guys, are you the one who said that you wanted to get paid?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just, you know, Fred, I'm just one of these happy to be here guys. You need me, I'll come in. No problem.
God bless you. God bless you.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
All right, so I've been getting a lot of flack because I don't know who the guys on the weekends are. There's
because you're too big time to concern yourself with those things.
I think it's more that I don't see them very often, and when I do, it's fleeting. And yeah. if you get introduced to someone one or two times, do you immediately know who they are?
I'm terrible at names.
We have barely crossed paths, and I've worked here since 2014.
Yeah,
so maybe twice I've like said hi to Fred, and it was again fleeting.
Yeah, and so I've gotten a lot of flack for that because I wouldn't recognize anybody. And I also, sometimes I can't tell who's on the air.
That's the worst, too, when you think you might have met somebody, but you're not positive.
Well, I'm sure I met Sean before, but I wouldn't, when he came in today, I didn't immediately go, oh, Sean Silver, and then it took me a while.
You said, oh, I thought Sarge was on the schedule.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the good thing is when Sarge is in, it gets old after a while, but people call in and they're like, yeah, what do you think about this Gronkowski deal? You know what I think is that Sarge is terrible on the radio. And then Sarge will go, yeah, buddy, okay. Yeah. You get back in your mom's basement.
Mow your lawn.
Yeah. Why don't you do something better with your time? He goes, I know, Fred, I know. You taught me. Not to get upset. So he gets really upset at the caller, and then it just sets off a stream of phone calls. The last time he was in here, no one ever calls this show. The last time that he was in here, we had full phone lines for the entire time. And none of them came on and said, I want to make fun of Sarge. They all just came on and
said...
It's
just like Patriots in the subject line.
Yeah, it would be like, want to talk about something sports related. And it was one of those days that it was, I think Haggerty was so
it's
in
like,
here.
It's like a long string of like Francesa prank calls.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so it was like a day that like Haggerty was in here. So, I mean, you know, I don't have like bits to do with Haggerty. So it was pretty much down the line sports. And so these calls seemed very legitimate. It's like, I have this friend who loves men in uniform. He expressed his stolen valor. He loves wrestling. He's a piece of garbage. It's Sarge.
Poor Sarge. Just from pillar to post on the kid.
Yeah, I mean, just they would call in. It was just, and then Sarge just got so pissed and so flustered. There was a time where earlier, a couple weeks ago, where it was just Sarge and Zoe. And Zoe just walked out of the studio in the last break. And Sarge's been doing radio a long time. And Sarge couldn't figure out what to do. He was going like, all right, well, I want to thank Scott and, you know, Jim Louth and 1041. You know, I want to, and he like couldn't conceive of something that would take like 8 minutes of radio.
In Sarge's defense, it was kind of sprung on him, and it was his birthday, so maybe he was just thinking about, you know, the festivities later, and then all of a sudden he's got this open block of radio.
What's Sarge doing on his birthday in reality?
I wish I knew all. You know, Sarge used to work for me.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, Sarge worked for me. I was my second full-time job. I got fired from the other one. My first full-time job out of college, right, was at the Metro West Daily News. And the way it would work, we'd all get like these weekly papers that we'd have a day where we'd have to be where we would be the editor. And so I was the sports editor of the Wellesley Townsman and the Needham Times. And Sarge
high pressure situation.
And Sarge was in high school, and I believe Sarge was. I can't remember if he was like a high school athlete, and he was writing this, but he was
not a high school athlete. He was hugely fat in high school.
He played football.
Thought
he put that beef to use.
Did he play football?
I'm not exactly sure, but I thought that was said on
this
program.
For some reason, I thought soccer, but maybe I'm
wrong. Oh, there's no way he was playing soccer. He'll tell you. I mean, it's a fact. He was grossly overweight when he was in high school.
But, yeah, he was one of the high school – like, so we would have high school kids who would write for us, and he was one of the high school kids who wrote for us.
And that was pre-Sarge.
So, this was 2000 – would have been 2004.
Now, when was the last time you saw him – recently.
And he reminded me, like, I had no idea because, you know, we get these stories, they come into your email and just...
Okay, how much has he changed since he was an intern for you?
I have no idea. Well, the thing is, like, I wouldn't talk, like, the kids would just send the stories and I'd give them some feedback, so I don't really remember.
Because I am very interested in how...
High school Sarge?
Yeah, because, like, Sarge has got this persona now, and he's Sarge, and he talks in a certain way, and he gives you legitimate salutes off air, Like, and then I'm, I don't think there's
that's
any.
What I, that's what surprised me about him was like when he was actually like he gave me one a few years ago. It was like he was actually serious about it.
Oh, he's dead serious. But when he wasn't, I'm so curious. I wish someone had like a videotape of him.
So you can figure out how he became like that?
I know how he became like that is that randomly like Maserati called him Sarge. And then he took that.
I didn't know that was Maz.
I think it was Maz. I don't know. It was Maz.
He ran with it, you could say.
Do you think? It's overcut. It's like a schizo.
Fred, I got a confession to make, actually, this morning regarding Sarge.
Okay.
The first 98-mile rap that Sarge constructed, I was in on that. That
did
team.
You write it?
I think I helped the creation story of Sarge.
Okay. Oh, you did?
The Summer of Sarge. I think I had a hand in that, you know, for better or for worse.
Right, so, okay. So you knew him before he was Sarge?
Oh, no. I guess. I mean, he was becoming Sarge. I've worked here for 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, so among the weekend guys, we see each other quite a bit because, you know, who else is working on the weekends?
No. So, yeah. You've seen him. Now, have you seen it evolve and become more and more take over?
More Sarge-y, would you say?
Yeah. It's like evolved and taken up more of his personality.
Well, you know, I'd like to think that all media personalities hit their stride. I mean, I'd like to think that there's room for growth for me personally as well. I mean, nobody knows who the heck I am. So maybe there's, you know, some room for me to become a star like Sarge as well.
Well, my advice to you is not to be like Sarge.
Not to go that route?
No, I wouldn't start developing a persona that overwhelms you and takes over your life. No, that would be the one thing that I would say to you not to do.
I will say the one thing that's always been constant about Mike Riley is he's a great guy despite all the Sarging.
Oh, I know he's a good guy.
That's credit to Maz. That's a spot on nickname. Like I sort of thought maybe, like, based on who he is, I sort of thought Sarge gave himself that nickname, especially with how into the salutes he is. Like, he's invested in it. Like,
doesn't it make it more bizarre, though, that he was named that by Maz, and then he's taken it as his persona?
As if it's, like, an actual, like, military rank?
Just, like, someone randomly called him Sarge, and it's completely his personality now. And he salutes people. You have to think that before Maz called him that, he never saluted anybody in his entire life. This is, I mean, it's become who he is.
Now he's doing it dead serious.
Bert, I've never seen him not act like Sarge. I've never seen it. Now Sarge has been in a lot.
So do you think he was, like, just wandering around aimlessly for the first 25 years looking for an identity and then Maz gave it to him?
I know a girl that went to high school with him, but she didn't really hang out with him, but she knew who he was. But I can't get it because I've peppered her with questions about Sarge. But I don't get a lot back because she's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't remember. I just know I went to school with him. So, I don't know. I've always been fascinated by that. If anyone knew Sarge way back when, 617-779-0985.
We're not going to take Sarge calls, but, you know, if you knew him.
Well, don't just come on and say that he sucks. That's unfair. He's not here to defend him. And Sarge has made me laugh more than a lot of things when he does those songs for us. I mean, I think they're excellent. So I'm not ripping on him. Don't get it. Don't start saying I'm ripping on him. But I am curious if you knew Sarge. He went to Needham High, I believe. 617-779-0985. When we come back, we'll talk about that Gronkowski contract.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Sean Silver is in. It's the first time I've worked with Sean. And we were talking, it just came up. We were talking about Sarge because Burt Breer used to have him as an intern.
Wasn't intern, it was like basically, they call him stringers.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Like, who cares? But he was doing something for you. So then it became, when did he become Sarge? And what was the impetus of it was that it just Maserati called him Sarge. So he acts like that all the time. And we have some people who claim to have gone to high school with him. Let's go to Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. So I was in the grade below Sarge, and I played football throughout high school with his brother, actually, who was a year behind me. And definitely, like, unequivocally, RKK unequivocally, his brother definitely got the better genes out of the two of them. Sarge did not play sports at all, for sure, guaranteed. He was actually the commentator. He was essentially Zolak for the Needham channel when we had our football games. He would do the commentating. So when we would go back and watch our film, it was all Sarge's voice. So if you guys need extra Sarge material from high school, that's your source. Go to the Needham channel. You'll be able to dig up their videos, and you'll get everything you need.
All right. Thank you, sir. That is good. Now, was he acting like Sarge?
He definitely had the persona. I don't recall if he had the name quite yet, but he definitely had that attitude of, you know, big shot on campus at times. But in reality, he was just behind the camera and the voice behind the TV all the time instead of actually on the field.
Was he over the top, like, as far as his commentary?
Honestly, I don't remember, because usually we would just put the videos on mute before we would watch our film for the games.
Okay, so he was involved in broadcasting, and he has been doing that. I have so much Sarge stuff here, I can't. Oh, do you have one?
Sub-Zo, Sarge is here. It's all good, baby. Here's your Sarge salute. I did a 10-minute intro at the TNR anniversary show. Hey, Jay Stu, let's watch wrestling. Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. Let's go eat some spring rolls at Kowloon and meet wrestlers.
All right, well, that was beautiful. Every now and again, Bert, I don't know if you know this, Jim Irsay, the great Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts.
I really like the Quentin Nelson audio that you guys use.
All right.
Fantastic.
Jim Irsay, hello.
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
What's up, Jim? It's been a long time since you called
you
in.
Fired up?
I am fired up now that you're on the phone.
Hey, Wallach, man, that new studio makes you sound different.
Jim, that's not Wallach. That is a man by the name of Sean Silver.
Hey there, Jim.
Oh, all right. Sean Silver, what's up, man?
What's up, man? You fired up?
I'm fired up. Rich, what's up, buddy?
Rich isn't here.
Yeah, that's Bert Breer.
What is going on, man? You guys are tripping me out.
No.
Save space.
No. Have you been playing any shows lately? Have you been playing any guitar?
Oh, man, what I do, it's kind of this new thing, man. I get someone who works for me in my office. I get him in a corner, and then I play him some tasty licks on my alt-rock memorabilia. I call it marshanding.
Okay, so you corner them in a corner. And then you make them listen.
Yeah, man, it's a timely reference, man, but it's pretty sweet.
All right. Is there anything else you have to say there, Jim Irsay?
Oh, well, I'm on my way to Zumba with Dave Perner. We're going to, you know, try and sweat out last night. But I was calling for a regular thing, man, Tuesdays with Irsay.
Okay, you want to do something regular, Jim? You want to come on every Tuesday?
What do you mean, man? It is Tuesday.
Jim, I think you have the days confused. It's Friday, but I think every day is pretty much the same for you. You have total freedom.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Everyone's like, oh, Jim, you know, you run on your own clock. You run on Irsay time. And I'm like, man, I run on Xanax.
Right. Jim, well, be careful. You do not want another incident where you get pulled over.
Fred, man, can I make a request? You guys play songs?
Sure, we can play a song for you.
Oh, man. Decision time, man. I got to decide between, like, the ink, the stink, and the blank, man.
That is a difficult decision. You seem to like butt rock bands.
Well, you know, the Ink, man, that's Incubus. They're pretty sweet. The stink is garbage. And obviously, the blink, man, you know, that's Eve 6. Because it's like I blinked, and it's like, where'd they go, man?
They weren't around very long. It was too short.
No, they were sweet, man.
So this is alt-rock Jim Irsay.
Yeah, man. Oh, I love it. I got all this stuff signed in my office.
Do you make people look at it?
Sometimes, man, or I'll play it for them and, you know, stare at them really, really intense eye contact, and they tell me how sweet it is.
Okay. So you want to make sure they're paying attention to lyrics and everything.
No, just me, man, because sometimes I need that eye contact to keep from passing out.
Okay. Well, Jim Irsay, it's always a pleasure, sir.
All right. Later, boys.
All right. Take it easy. Jim Irsay calls about once every other month. And, you know, when he remembers to. It's very good. All right. We will talk about that Gronkowski extension, I promise. Here are the headlines, no commercials.